There are five classical steps. I'd like to go through them, and then we'll go through a couple of commandments. We're not going to get through all of them in 40 minutes. So I'd like to go through the classical steps. Now, it would be a good idea sometime tonight you give yourself at least a half hour to go through the sheet we have right here. Give yourself a good half hour without any interruption. Pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you light. Pray to Mary, whose feast day it is today, Our Lady of Sorrows. So the first is examination of conscience. You're going through all the Ten Commandments. Second would be sorrow for your sins. Okay, there are two types of sorrow. There is what is called imperfect contrition and perfect contrition. Imperfect contrition means this: I'm sorry for my sins, because if I don't repent of my mortal sins, then I could lose my soul. That's called fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And that's good, because it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fear of the Lord. But you want to go beyond that. You want to have perfect contrition. And perfect contrition means you're sorry for your sins because you know how much God loves you, and you want to love God in return. So you want to be aiming at that. Imperfect fear of the Lord, of the possibility of losing my soul. And then we have perfect contrition, is I don't want to sin because God loves me so much, and I want to love God in return. Okay, the third step is what is called a firm purpose of amendment. And firm purpose of amendment means you're going to try to avoid any person, place, or circumstance that leads you into sin. There are persons that can be a cause of sin. We want to avoid them. There are places that are a near occasion of sin. We want to avoid those places. There are circumstances where you're walking on a slippery slope, you're going to slip and you're going to fall. Probably, I've noticed as being a confessor for many years, the third step is where most people are weakest. If you don't dig deep into the third step, you're going to probably repeat the same sin over and over again. Going to be like a broken record confession, the same thing over and over again. But if you step back and you see what led to your fall, the next time you find yourself in that situation, you're not going to have recourse to the sin, but you're going to go in the opposite direction. Usually sin is preceded by a state of desolation, as St. Ignatius teaches us. What does that mean? You feel sad, you feel kind of depressed, you feel bored, you feel life is kind of a drag, you feel people don't seem to understand me, life seems to have no purpose. So the devil sees we're in this state of desolation, he goes after our kryptonite, remember Superman, right? Kryptonite, he sees our weak point, and he goes for the kill. So that third step, I think you want to hone in on that and see if your confessions have become perfunctory, just a routine, you're just repeating the same darn thing over and over again, probably because the third step, you're weak in that area. So that demands what? It demands rewinding the film, and it demands self-knowledge, which is painful. We don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror. With the mask or without the mask, we don't want to look at ourselves in the mirror. So I insist upon that point. Look at your sin. Okay, you fell, but why? What was the root cause? When I was a kid, my dad would tell me to pull out the weed. Sometimes I'd chop off the head of the weed, and the weed would grow even deeper. You have to get to the root. Then you have to eradicate it. You got to pull it out. So all of you should probably ask yourself, what is your weak point? Is it gluttony? Is it lust? Is it avarice? Is it laziness? Is it anger? Is it envy? Is it pride? You probably say, Father, I've got all of those. Well, you probably do, but there's one that's going to be predominant. One that's going to be predominant. If you can hone in on what's predominant, then you'll be able to, with God's grace, conquer. Like a pitcher is going to be looking for the weak point, you know, fastball, a slider, or a screwball, a curve. You're going to see where the batter's weakest, right? You know anything about baseball? The devil's an excellent pitcher. Excellent pitcher. So part of confession is self-knowledge. It's just painful. We don't want to look in the mirror of our soul, look at the warts on our nose, huh? So that's key to making a good confession, that step in which we're making the firm purpose of amendment, trying to avoid any person, place, thing, or circumstance that can push us into sin. Okay, then the next step is we haven't arrived at the confessional yet. We still haven't arrived at the confessional yet. Because 95% of a good confession is what you do before you enter the confessional. When I go to confession to another priest, it's usually very quick. I know exactly what I'm going to say. Pop, pop, pop. Give me absolution. I'm gone. Not a blab session, you know. You know, tell the sins, that's it. Tell the sins, that's it. But your firm purpose of amendment, you're sorry for your sin, is the difference between making a mediocre confession, a bad confession, and a really good confession. When you go to confession, you should go to confession as if it were going to be your last confession, if you had that in mind. Same thing with communion. You go to communion, go as if it were your last communion. Don't fall into what's called the routine. They say in Spanish, la maldita rutina. Damned habit, if you speak in New York English, huh? You don't want to fall into the habit. You want to, every time you go to Mass, every time you go to confession, try to do the best communion, the best confession in your life. If you had that attitude, the time you die, I would probably canonize you if I were the Pope. I'd be ready. I'd be able to make relics out of you after you die. Okay, now, before going to confessional, one occasion in the Diary of St. Faustina, she came out of the confessional and she was not at peace. Jesus appeared to her and she said, why am I not at peace? And he said, because you didn't pray for the priest before you went to confession. Pray for the priest. Did you know that I have a guardian angel? Priests have special guardian angels. Okay? Some say we got two on the day of ordination. So pray to my guardian angel. Send your guardian angel to my guardian angel, and it's going to be a good confession. Now the qualities of good confession are these three words. Transparency, humility, and obedience. You hear that? Do you know what transparency means? Or is that a big college word? Transparency means, it means you gotta be clear. Not murky. Be as clear as you can. Humility. What does that mean? Oh, you know, I get angry at my younger sister, but Father, if you knew her, if you knew my little sister, you'd cut me some slack. You definitely would, no? You know what that's called? That's called pride. That's pride. You're confessing your sister's sins more than your own. Then obedience. Priest says, okay, I want you to say 6 Hail Marys. How about 3, Father? Come on. No. Okay, all right, okay, 6 rosaries then. No? You have to learn how to obey. And then you say the act of contrition. All of you should have the act of contrition memorized. Okay? Should have it memorized. And then the priest gives you absolution. And after the absolution, then you carry out the penance that the priest has given to you. When I was studying to become a priest, my formator said, always double the penance. Whatever the priest gives you, do twice as much. I think that's good advice. Because it's a sign of goodwill. Sign of goodwill. Okay. Given that there's a lot to read, what I'm going to do is this. Don't even read the sheet. I'm just going to take the Ten Commandments and I'm going to give you a little bit different examination, different, but I want you to read that in preparation for your confession. Okay, just follow me. Don't even look at it, okay? Okay, the first commandment is this. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What I'd like to do is I'm going to go quickly through the Ten Commandments because I'm going to finish at 45 minutes so you can go and be with your parents or stay for Mass, whatever you like, or line up if you're ready. Okay, one way in which you, let me give you a different way in which you can examine your conscience. How to observe the commandment and how to break it. So I'm throwing you a curveball now. Usually it's how I break it, but how can I observe the commandment? Okay, one way in which you're going to put in practice the first commandment is this. You're really trying to grow in your prayer life. You hear me? I repeat, you're really trying to grow in your prayer life. Now don't get angry at me what I'm going to tell you, but this. I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the principal reasons why we don't pray is because we lack motivation and we're lazy. It's true. And we're lazy because we lack motivation, I should say that. Give you an example. Okay, if I were to tell you, tomorrow we're not going to have the class, you're rejoicing already, and I were to tell you, if you were to come up tomorrow at 4 o'clock and just greet me and say, hey, Father Broome, how's it going? I would give you $1 million. Okay, well, okay, $5 million, let's up the ante. Huh? Probably none of you would even leave this parking lot. You'd probably nail you down to your seat. You wouldn't even move because you'd want those $5 billion, huh? One Hail Mary, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, is worth more than the whole created universe. Thomas Aquinas. You hear that? One Hail Mary. So we don't pray because we don't really feel it's important. And all the saints are uniform in this. Your salvation depends on your prayer life. If you do not pray, St. Alphonsus says, you're going to be damned. If you pray fervently, you're going to make it to heaven. Okay, so that's one way in which you can observe the first commandment. Okay, one way, okay, a way in which we break the first commandment is the practice of idolatry. Idolatry, let me give you a succinct Father Broome definition of idolatry. It's when we place any person, place, or thing above God, idolatry. I repeat, we place any person, place, or thing above God, idolatry. Eventually, some of you will probably be studying philosophy, maybe even theology. These are idolatry with respect to philosophical systems, materialism, consumerism, hedonism, agnosticism, militant atheism. Those are all philosophical systems that are idolatry. What's materialism? You place the material thing above God. That's idolatry. What's hedonism? The philosophy of pleasure, it's Miller time. It's Miller time, okay? It's Miller time. So we place any person, place, or thing above God, idolatry. Second commandment. Honor God's name. Yesterday in the Mass, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. At the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and earth and under earth will bow. So every time you hear the name of Jesus and you bow your head, you're putting into practice the second commandment. Okay, let me tell you the way that the second commandment is broken today. You follow the news now where they're going into churches and they're destroying statues of the Blessed Mother all over the country now, especially Juniper Serra. Did you hear about that? You don't follow the news, do you? So Juniper Serra, they've been destroying his statue throughout the whole country. That's against the second commandment. Because we're supposed to love the saints and not spit on the saints. Like if you're to take my relic and you're to spit on it, that'd be a pretty bad sin. That's against the second commandment. Because you're insulting the saints, and the saints were God's friends. Hopefully they're your friends. The Beatles? No, get a little help from your friends, huh? You like the Beatles, huh? Get a little help from your friends. The saints. Third commandment is keep holy the Sabbath. How are you going to live that out? Okay, go to Mass. But try to, with the help of your parents, to arrive early for Mass. And after Mass, don't take off as if your pants were on fire. And hopefully your pants are not on fire, no? Stay after to thank God a little bit. One communion is enough to make you a saint. The fault is not in the recipient of the sacrament. The fault is not in the sacrament, but in the recipient of the sacrament. It's called dispositive grace. You know what dispositive grace means? You receive in commensurate with your disposition. One communion can make you a saint. So, one way to live out that third commandment is to participate fully, actively, consciously in the Mass. The way to break it is not to go to Mass on Sunday. When you can, your parents would bring you. We're bending over backwards to celebrate Mass for you in this pandemic. We're doing all the work. You just come. But try to participate. Fourth commandment. This is a toughie for teenagers, huh? How do you break it? By disobeying your parents. I'm going to be honest, I don't come from a perfect family, but I come from a family that was not dysfunctional. Pretty rare today, huh? Of 9 kids, no? A good family. Not perfect, but it was not dysfunctional. It was a good family, good solid family. My parents, my dad died 4 years ago, it would be October 1st. They're married for more than 60 years, thanks be to God. They had 2 rules in our family. Pretty simple. Number one is don't tell lies. And number two, you got to obey the parents. Those are the 2 rules. Not that. And we obeyed them pretty well. Not perfectly. Because if everyone is telling a lie, you can't trust anyone. Liar, liar, set your pants on fire, we used to say in the 60s, huh? Everyone is lying, you can't trust anyone. And every time you speak, I can't do a lie detector test on you to see whether or not you're lying. I can't do that. And if you don't have obedience, it's like the rioters now in the United States, the Antifa. You know what that is, Antifa, the rioters? Total confusion. It's anarchy. So when you obey your parents, when you obey your parents and also you're kind to your brothers and sisters, you're obeying the fourth commandment. Yes? Fourth commandment refers to your brothers and sisters too. That's a tough one. Well, I can put up with my parents, but my brothers and sisters, they drive me nuts. Is that what you're thinking? Well, pray for them. Try to be kind. The golden rule, treat them the way you'd want to be treated. Huh? It's called the golden rule. Okay, the fifth commandment. You shall not kill. Okay, what is a way in which we can really live that out? Well, with respect to your body, make sure you get enough rest, you eat properly, and you get exercise. Sounds like Dr. Broom, huh? Well, my brother's a doctor, by the way. Sounds like Dr. Broom, huh? You got to get enough rest. But also, if you're always eating junk food, by the time you're 20, 25, you're probably going to have high blood pressure, diabetes, and a lot of these sicknesses, they're not simply congenital, but we bring this upon ourselves because of bad eating habits. And get exercise. Get exercise. Play sports. When I was your age, I was able to do 50 push-ups, yeah? I won the Presidential Award of Physical Fitness when I was 14, no? Make sure that, you know, otherwise we're going to get gordito, huh? Good exercise. It's good for you. Okay? Another way that the fifth commandment is broken is by something small now, but yelling at someone and calling the person a bad name. You idiot. You never say that. You know, words. They used to say when I was a kid, sticks and bones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. That's a lie. Yeah, sticks and bones, they can break your bones. Words can kill you. So make sure that you think before you speak. If not, si mette la pata. Think. Put in motion your mind before your mouth. Thanks be to God for the Mass, because we're going to eat less and maybe speak less too. It's a blessing in disguise. Yeah? You can kill with your tongue. St. James says you should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Did you hear me? Yes, Father. Okay, sixth commandment. You know, I have another relic in my room of St. Maria Goretti. How about that? You ever hear of St. Maria Goretti? I talked to you about that girl when you were with me 2 years ago. Alessandra tried to kill her. Alessandra actually killed her. Okay, a way in which we can put this into practice is by consecrating our eyes, our mind, our heart, our bodies to the Blessed Mother. Amen? We're talking about the virtue of purity, no? If you consecrate yourself to Mary, Mary can help you to live the virtue of purity. And the Lady of Fatima said that most souls go to hell because of the sins against the sixth and ninth commandment. Okay, I'm going to be very generic on this, and then you can examine your own conscience, but all of you are teenagers. You're thinking about boyfriends and girlfriends? First, go to college. Get your college degree. Become a professional. And have $30,000 in the bank, then you can look for your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Amen? Amen or oh me? I didn't hear any groans beneath your masks. No? But that's the ideal. College, degree, profession, money in the bank, then go for the love of your life. Hopefully half the boys are going to join the Oblates, so in about 10 years, okay? Hope. Come, become a priest. We're waiting for you, okay? So that's the sixth commandment. Seventh commandment is you should not steal. Should not steal. A way in which you can put this into practice is to make sure that you watch over your things and you watch over your books, your shoes, your pants, and you're not neglecting the gifts that God has given to you. Okay, a general way in which you can break the seventh commandment is by being lazy. God has given you talents. Right? You've got talents. You have intellectual talents, you have artistic talents, maybe you've got sports talents, you've got linguistic talents, you have talents of communication, you have talents. One of the biggest tragedies for teenagers is that God has given you a keen intellect and you're lazy. Oh God, save us from that. This is the most advanced class of the confirmation, but I've taught confirmation for many years, and sometimes the confirmation students can barely read and write. I could read better than them when I was in second grade. And it's not that my name is Albert Einstein Jr., no? But it's pure laziness. So by being lazy, you're robbing from God. You're stealing from God what God has given to you. They say if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Use all your talents. Use your talents to the max. And this is the philosophy of Saint Alberto Hurtado. A dos lugares para descansar, el cementerio y el cielo. Amen. There are two places where we should rest. The cemetery in heaven. In the meantime, let's work hard. Amen. Okay, the eighth commandment now. Eighth commandment is you should not lie or bear false witness. Does this ever happen? Ring, 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 ring. Hello. Who is it? It's your little sister. Ah, it's La Tia Lupe. Tia Lupe. Mom, it's La Tia Lupe. That's Spanish for what a bore. So your mom says to your little sister, dile que no estoy. Tell her. Tell her. Tell her I'm not here. So your little sister goes and says, Tia Lupe, my mommy said to tell you that she's not here now. It's a double sin, isn't it? See the effects of sin? It's a lie, but also she's giving bad example to your little sister, right? Your little sister is going to be a little Pinocchio, a little Minty Rosa, right? Yeah. So never tell lies. Always tell the truth. Probably the first fable I heard when I was maybe in first grade was The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Remember that? I guess maybe you never heard that. There was a boy in the marketplace, he cried out, wolf. And the townsman came in and said, where's the wolf? Nah, just joking. So he cries out, wolf, wolf. And the townsman come in, where's the wolf? Nah, there's no wolf. So then the wolf comes and the boy cries out, wolf, and the townsman said, that's a little liar, and the wolf ate him up. So we have to learn always to tell the truth. And hopefully this has never happened before the pandemic. You're going to Disney, and there's a price for children and then young adults. And you're 14, and you have to pay the price of an adult. You tell mom, mom, tell the lady at the desk, I'm only 12, I'm kind of small. So there at the desk, the lady says, how old are you? And you said, I'm 12 years old. Okay, and with that high voice, no? So, you committed two sins. You lied and you stole. Often one sin leads right to another sin. So always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Okay, ninth commandment is the following. And I'm going to go through this very quickly, then you can examine your own conscience on this. How about the use of the social media? Internet. Telephone. iPad. Okay, the telephone, the internet, and social media can be used for incredible good. For incredible good. I have Facebook, I've got YouTube, I've got Instagram, I've got Twitter, I speak on the radio, I've been on TV, I've been EWTN. I try to use all the modern means to preach the Word of God. So it can be an incredible platform if you use it well. If you use it well, Jesus said, go preach the Word of God to the whole world. I think that's what Jesus was thinking about 2,000 years ago, before TV and the internet was invented. But you have to ask yourself, do you sometimes abuse rather than use the mass media? You're called to use and not to abuse. Abuse means what? To use it improperly. So examine your conscience. You know, the biggest devil, the biggest addiction out there, and you know it, is pornography. That's a no-brainer. Everyone knows that. And that's the devil that's trying to get a hold of everyone today. So make sure that when you're using social media, you're using it for the honor and glory of God. Amen? Okay? The 10th commandment. Okay, so the 10th commandment and the 7th commandment are really connected. You should not covet your neighbor's goods. What does that mean? When I was a kid, my dad used to say, mind your own business. Mind your own beeswax. Che no te metas. In other words, don't compare yourself to other people. Okay, most of you have brothers and sisters. Some of you have a lot, like me. What the devil tries to do often is you compare yourself, well, my sister, she has something I don't have. That's unfair. No? Don't do that. Comparisons are odious, as they say, the spiritual writers. And look, if you compare yourself to others, what is the net result? You feel sad afterward. You feel depressed. You feel depressed. How can you overcome not to covet your neighbor's goods? Is to be thankful to God for what you have. If you look at us here in the United States, we have much more than 98% of the people in the world. We do. Many children will go to bed hungry today and they won't wake up. They'll die of hunger. Did you know that? In the world. In Africa, in China, children will die of hunger this very night. And I'm not inventing this. It's not a metaphor. Okay? We have so much. So cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And as the poet says, I complained because I had no shoes until I met someone without any feet. We're always going to be meeting someone that has much less than us. So I've gone through the Ten Commandments in a different way, ways in which we can observe the commandment and ways in which we can break it. So spend a good time this afternoon, spend a good half hour, 45 minutes reading through it. I invite all of you, even write down your sins on a piece of paper and try to make a firm commitment with the help of God's grace to give up that sin. And every time we say no to temptation, we're saying yes to the love of God. Amen? So let's turn to the Blessed Mother. You know, today we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows. And then I'd like to give you the blessing. Can I give them a blessing with the relics? Would you like that? No? Okay. Hey, the Curia of Ours, St. Philip Neri. Those are two big guns, aren't they? No? So let's say our Hail Mary, and then I'll give you the blessing with these relics. Please stand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Through the intercession of St. John Vianney, the Curie of Ars, and St. Philip Neri, pray this blessing that all of us would always get in the habit of making good confessions so that we can have our hearts pure and clean to receive Jesus in the Eucharist with great love. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
We're going to confession today, Father.
Fine.
Okay, thank you, Father Ed.
So we gave you an examination of conscience yesterday to take home, and then Father went through another examination of conscience. So I'm guessing you guys are ready for confession. So we're going to start making the line for confession. Make